Talk to you this morning about joy.
Yes.
Do you have it?
Amen.
In 1 Thessalonians 5:16, we're given a command. It says, rejoice always. That'd be a good memory verse for everybody, right? Just two words. Rejoice always. Now, rejoice is one of those words you don't hear much outside of Christianity. What does it mean? It means to have great joy. It's the expression that comes out from having great joy. It means to have great joy, to be glad, to be delighted. It's much deeper than happiness. It is an inner gladness. Talking about the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. It's something that no one can take away from you. When you have that, no one can take it from you. The joy of the Lord is my strength. It gives a cheerful heart. And it leads to cheerful behavior. All right? How many know that what your heart is full of is going to come out in the way you act and the things you do?
Amen.
The Bible tells us that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know, always when I'd look at that scripture before, it kind of made me think of, you know, the negative side of it. You know, when someone is cussing and complaining and all kinds of negativity is coming out of their mouth. You see, that, you know, that's a good indicator, and it's true, of what their heart is full of. But it goes that way for the positive, too. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Are you speaking rejoice always? Are you speaking joy in the Lord and the things that He's done? I love to hear testimonies. That gives me, that sparks up, so to speak, that joy of the Lord in me to hear of when the Lord is working. Amen? That is joy. I'm talking about joy that only comes from knowing the Lord. You can't get it anywhere else. It only comes from knowing the Lord. This is something that the world cannot comprehend. Let me ask you again, do you have that joy?
Glory.
That comes from knowing Jesus. Knowing Him. It's not some dry, dead religion that we have. It's not some, well, I've read this book and that book and this book and that book and the Bible, and I'm deciding to go with Christianity because I think it makes the most sense. No! You know Him. You know the Lord. And what great joy that gives us. Amen?
Amen.
Joy is a distinctive characteristic of the Christian life. You ought to have it. Right? You're a Christian, you ought to have it. The Greek word translated as rejoice and rejoice always in the New Testament is closely related to the word grace. The joy that Christians have is a result of the appropriation of the grace of God through Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad for His grace. I'm so glad for His unmerited favor.
Amen.
That He looked down one day and had mercy on me. Anyone else?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Joy. The joy that Christians have is a result of this. It's from knowing Jesus. It's from that salvation. It's the joy of salvation. And that's something you ought to shout about.
Amen.
If you can't shout about anything else, you ought to shout about the joy of your salvation.
Amen.
You're saved. No longer condemned. On your way home to heaven. Praise the Lord. It is also connected to contentment. The believer who can say with Paul, by the grace of God, I am what I am, has experienced the grace that I'm talking about this morning. Paul was referring to himself being the least of the apostles in 1 Corinthians 15. But he said, I praise God and I can be thankful that I am what I am. It is by His grace. Makes no difference what our position in life is. You can have joy. It makes no difference what your former life was. Amen?
Amen.
No matter what circumstances we are in, we can have joy. That doesn't make sense to the world. How many know that everything can be going wrong and you can still have joy? Because joy is not related to your circumstances. Other than the circumstance that you happen to be in, that you are saved, born again, blood-bought, child of God. But it doesn't have anything to do with what's going on in your life. How many have trouble sometimes? Every one of us. Two hands going up in the back. Joy is closely connected to other Christian virtues. It's related to righteousness and peace. Now, I have a lot of scriptures in this sermon. And the nice thing is, we have it on the overhead. You don't have to look up every one of them. But you know why? There's a lot of scriptures that have to do with joy. Hallelujah. Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom is not about what we eat or drink. It's much deeper than that. It is about righteousness, or your right standing with God. It is about peace. Peace with God. Peace that passes understanding. How many know before you were saved, you had that guilt on you? Your conscience was telling you that you were being, that you were doing wrong. And how many know that's gone now?
Amen.
That you're no longer condemned. That there is now no more condemnation on you. That guilt is gone. How many are guilt-free because of what Jesus did?
Amen.
That's peace that passes understanding. Peace with God. And joy in the Holy Spirit. Amen. That joy, that gladness and delight that we have when we experience the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Can't say enough about that. What a joy. What a difference it makes in your life to experience that and have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The joy of the Holy Spirit, Kenneth Wiest, in his expanded Greek translation, he took the Greek and basically translated it word for word. It's kind of like the Amplified Bible. A lot of the Amplified Bible is based on the Kenneth Wiest translation. Wiest puts it this way. Joy in the Holy Spirit, joy in the sphere of the Holy Spirit. That means everything about the Holy Spirit. His drawing us to salvation gives us joy. His comfort, His indwelling, His movement. How many felt the movement of the Spirit? Amen. His power, His gifts. What a great joy when God, through the Holy Spirit, uses us to minister to others in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Anyone understand that? Hallelujah. What joy. Joy in the sphere, everything to do with the Holy Spirit. What power, what peace, what assurance and confidence He gives us through the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. Amen?
Amen.
What a wonderful thing to know that God is with us, that the Holy Spirit is with us.
Amen.
Next, joy is listed as a fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 25, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Again, we have the Holy Spirit. The outcome in our lives, the fruit, will be what? Joy. Amen. What we are full of will come out in what we do. There it is again. Out of the abundance of the heart. Are you full of the Holy Ghost? Then what's going to come out is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit. There are many references in the Word concerning joy in the Christian life. Acts 2:46. So continuing daily with one accord, talking about the early church, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. I love that scripture. That's talking about contentment. And when you have contentment, you can have joy. Because again, it doesn't depend on what you have. It doesn't depend on your circumstances, how big your house is, how nice your car is, all of that. They ate their bread with simplicity of heart. They were thankful for what they have. Amen? They were satisfied with the simple things in life. You know what? Their needs were met. How many are thankful that your needs are met? And He promised to meet your need. He didn't promise to give you all your wants. He promised to meet your needs. How many know Him faithful? Give me an amen. Amen. He has been so faithful to us over the years. In times of being laid off and unemployment, He met our needs. He met our needs. We have seen it so many times where we come home from church and there'll be a check in an envelope on our door. We don't even know where it came from. Or cash, and we don't even know where it came from. There's times when we would get in our car and there would be money on. You know, God uses people to do His will because He will meet your needs. And that should give you joy. Now, you're going through a struggle. No one likes to go through a financial hard time. No one likes to not be able to meet your bills. No one likes that stress and that pressure. But He will meet your needs. So even when you're in that, you can have joy. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We have the joy of having experienced salvation. Acts chapter 8, 39 says, "Now when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way," what? "Rejoicing." Now you know the story. The eunuch was in his chariot, traveling down the road. The Holy Spirit told him to go see him, told Philip to go see him. And he said, "I'm reading the Scriptures, but how can I understand?" And Philip gave him the Gospel. And he got saved.
Amen.
So that caused the Ethiopian eunuch to go away rejoicing.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I'm saved. How many have experienced that?
Amen.
I'm saved. Hallelujah. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget the way I felt when I gave my life to Jesus. When I repented of my sins and I was washed clean by the blood of the Lamb and I was saved. No more condemnation. No more hell. Saved. That gives you great joy. The joy of your salvation. Acts 16:34. "Now when he had brought them into the house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed God with all his household." This is the Philippian jailer who Paul led to Jesus and his whole family. And he rejoiced because of his salvation. You can have joy even in the midst of persecution. Acts 13:50. But the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women and the chief men of the city and raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and came to Iconium. Verse 52. And the disciples were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. Now wait a minute. They were just out doing God's work. They were witnessing and preaching the gospel. And some other people stirred up people and had them kicked out, not of town, but out of the region. That doesn't sound like a pleasant experience. And what did they do?
Rejoice.
They were filled with joy.
Amen.
And with the Holy Spirit. You see, there's joy in doing what God wants you to do.
Amen.
Regardless of seeing immediate results. You know, we talked about that a little bit in Sunday school this morning. You know, when you witness, you're sowing a seed. Whether that person is wanting to hear it or not, or agrees with it or not, you're sowing a seed. And then God can send somebody else along to what? Water that seed. But it's God who gives the increase. You may not see results. You may be laughed at. You may be told to go away. You may get kicked out of town. But you can go away filled with joy. Why? Because you were obedient and did what God commanded every one of us to do, to be witnesses and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen?
Amen.
Our hope gives us great joy. Our hope is our assurance of eternal life. Romans 12:12. Rejoicing in hope. How many have hope?
Yes.
Some call it heaven. I call it home. That's hope. I have hope. You know, when we bury somebody, we say, we do not mourn as those who have no hope. Because we know this is not all there is. We know that this life is but a vapor. But we have eternity in store for us. And we can rejoice in that. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation and continuing steadfastly in prayer. Because of their hope, because of their joy, they were not shaken. And they could go on. Next, joy is a state of growth. How many have arrived? No, it's a state of growth. Philippians 3:1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Here we have another command telling us to rejoice in the Lord. And rejoicing is the overflow and the expression of that inner joy that you have from the Lord. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Now the verse we started with, 1 Thessalonians 5:16, says, rejoice always, at all times. And again, these are commands. These are something we are told. These are things we do.
No room for grumbling.
No room for grumbling. You can't. Yeah, that's not rejoicing always. But you can do that. Now, it's okay to be sad. It's okay that you're upset every once in a while. But that can't shake the joy you have that comes from Jesus. That in, you know, no matter what's going on in your life, you could say, I've got the Lord.
Amen.
And I don't know what's going to happen, but I know it's going to be okay.
Amen.
Because I've got Jesus. And you have that joy from the inside that is not dependent on circumstances, as we've already said. James 1:2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now, how in the world can you count trials as joy? Because we know that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose.
Amen.
Trials. When bad things happen, you can count it as joy. Don't you love the Word of God?
Yes.
These concepts, the world doesn't get it. In fact, I believe you have to know the Lord to understand it.
Amen.
That you can count it all joy when you fall into various problems. Because you know that God is working on you. And regardless of whatever's going on, God is going to use that for His glory. And you can have joy in the midst of trials. You can count it all joy. It takes growth, though. It takes focus. It takes making a decision to look at things in the perspective of living in Christ. You see? You have to have a made-up mind. You have to say, yes, I have the joy of the Lord. I'm going to live in that. I am going to rejoice always. And again, that's something that you do. And it takes growth. And the biggest thing is, it takes a made-up mind. You have to decide, this is how I'm going to live. I'm in a trial. I'm counting it joy. Praise the Lord. Things are going wrong. I'm counting it joy. My circumstances aren't the greatest. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to express praise to God in the midst of it. Because I know that no matter what the world throws at me, they can't take away my Jesus. They can't take it away from you. No one can. You have eternal life. No one, the Bible says, can pluck you out of His hand. I love that. Hallelujah. And how do we get this? How do we get this growth, this focus? Pray for it. Pray for it. If you don't have that joy this morning, if you don't have that kind of reaction to trials, pray for it. Lord, give me this joy. Let me know it. Let me know it, Lord. Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you. See here? You're praying for it. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. How many want some of that?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. It should be, yes. It should be our goal also to help others achieve this.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 1:24. Not that we have dominion over your faith, but we are fellow workers for your joy. For by faith you stand. Fellow workers for your joy. We ought to be working on our brothers and sisters in Christ that they can have joy.
Amen.
And we do that by encouraging them. We get that by sharing the Word with them. We get that by letting them. We do that by letting them know that we care.
Yes.
How many love a hug? How many sometimes need a hug? All right. And in doing so, you're doing the work of Jesus by being there for your brother or sister in Christ and giving them joy, helping them to experience that joy. Paul was saying that the work that they did for the Lord was for the joy of others. So we should pray for and encourage others that they can experience that joy. Paul instructs us that the state of rejoicing is to be constant. Again, our first verse, rejoice always. The word for rejoice here is a verb meaning be joyful. Something you do, something you decide. Weiss translates it as always be rejoicing. Rejoice always. Always be rejoicing. The Amplified has it like this. Be happy in your faith and rejoice and be glad-hearted continually. This involves continuity. This is not a sporadic joy that comes from some satisfying experience. You can experience joy in circumstances and things that you do or see, or you know, you can go to the Grand Canyon, I suppose, and you can look at the creation and have joy, or you know, you could watch a movie that you really like or something like that, and that gives you joy, but it's temporary joy, you see. It's dependent on your circumstances and what happens. But joy of the Lord in rejoicing always and being consistent with it, this is a permanent state of mind that rejoices regardless of what's going on in your circumstances. Amen. It rejoices. And again, rejoicing is that expression of the joy that you have inside. Even in sickness, we can have joy because we know that Jesus heals. How many know Jesus heals? Amen. Amen. Pat, you got prayed for. You came up front and wanted to be anointed and prayed for. Why? Because you know that God can heal you. And I believe God is going to heal Pat of this hernia. And it's going to be a witness. I believe that. And you can have joy in that. Even though I know it's painful. I've got one myself. And I've had one corrected. I've got another one. And I know how painful it can be. But you can still have joy, Pat, because you know that Jesus heals. Amen.
Amen.
And even if He doesn't heal, we know, like Paul, that His grace is sufficient.
Amen.
In other words, He'll get us through it. Paul had something going on. We don't know what exactly it was, a thorn in the flesh. And he prayed 3 times. And the Lord did not heal him. Why? We don't know that. But Paul said, His grace is sufficient for me.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
In persecution, Jesus said that the world would hate us for His name's sake. Hate us. And we're seeing that come along in today's society. More and more, there's less tolerance for Christianity. We're considered to be intolerant and hateful and everything else. And it's getting worse and worse. And persecution is coming. But even in that, you can have joy. Even when facing death. You know, again, you know, the disciples counted it joy to suffer for His name. They were beaten because they were doing nothing but preach the gospel, the good news of salvation to people, and they were beaten with rods. And they went away rejoicing, and they counted it joy to suffer for His name. Whoa, wait a minute. That's deep, right? They counted it joy to suffer for His name. Even when facing death, either of death of a loved one or ourselves, we can still have joy because we know the truth that death is not final for the believer. Amen?
Amen.
It is the beginning of eternal life. It is simply a transformation. The Bible tells us that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now that's joy.
Hallelujah.
It'll be great joy. And it can be great joy now because we have this hope. Hallelujah. I'm so glad for that hope. Doesn't matter what happens. Even your own death, you can still have joy. The death of a loved one, you know that they're gone, but they're with the Lord. They're present with the Lord. Rejoice always means all the time, no matter what is going on. It doesn't mean that we'll be happy in all of our circumstances. There's a difference. How many have ever been happy? How many have ever been unhappy? Yeah, that's going to happen. Depending on what's going on in your life. Joy is not related to that. It's different. Happiness depends on circumstances. Joy does not. Sometimes we will be distraught. Sometimes we'll be sad. But we can still have joy. Thank you, Lord. Sounds like a contradiction, but it is possible because Jesus gives us hope. We may be sad and regretful about our past lives. I was a sinner. I was a horrible person. I treated my family terribly. And that still weighs on me to a certain extent. But I have joy knowing that I once was lost, but now I'm found. Amen?
Amen.
I was sinful, but now I'm forgiven.
Amen.
And I'm far from perfect now, but I'm a little better than I was back then 30 or 22 years ago. Am I right, Liz? I'm not there yet, but it's a little better. You can say I'm going through a hard time, but Jesus is with me. You can say I'm sick, but Jesus can heal me. And even if I die, I still win.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Joy comes from the change that Christ has made in us. 1 Corinthians 5:17. If it's okay to have a favorite verse, this is mine. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Thank you, Jesus. Because I'm a new creature, because I am not the same, I have joy. This is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen? Joy comes from Jesus and His Word abiding in us. John 15:4 and verse 11. Abide in me. That means you get Jesus and you stick with Him. Abide in me. You get saved, you start living for Christ, and you stay there. Amen?
Amen.
Too many people don't do that. They walk away. They turn their backs. You abide in Him. Live in Him. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. And verse 11, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. I want my joy to be full. Anybody else?
Amen.
The world has a different concept of joy. One concept comes from hedonism, which means joy in the sensual realm. It's physical. It's things that happen to your senses. And it is dependent on what gives people pleasure. That's where their joy is based. And it is circumstantial and temporary. The meal is eventually over, and the joy is gone. The vacation is eventually over, and the joy is gone. How many like to go back to work? The drunk or the high is eventually over, and the joy is gone. The sexual experience is eventually over, and the joy is gone. That's the joy that the world has. All these are temporary and depend on their circumstances. When it's over, it's over. The joy is gone. But unlike the joy that the world can offer, the joy that the Scriptures reveal is enduring. It lasts. Hallelujah. Worship and praise can cause the believer to experience deep spiritual joy. How many love praise and worship?
Amen.
Oh, I wish we could just go on and on. The Spirit falls and we're worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. And we're pouring out our hearts to the Savior, telling Jesus that we love Him and He's here with us because wherever two or more are gathered together. Thank you, Lord. Have you experienced this?
Yes.
This deep joy in praise and worship? Not just at church. You could be at home working or resting or doing the dishes or cooking or whatever, and you can have the joy of the Lord in praise and worship.
Amen.
Just throughout your day, just, Lord, praise You. I praise You, Lord. You are wonderful. You are great and mighty. You begin to praise Him, and what happens?
Whoa.
He inhabits the praises of His people. And His presence is there with you. And you'll be lifted up. And you'll experience that joy. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
When it comes when we worship in spirit and in truth. When we really pour out our hearts in adoration to the Savior. When we enter into worship and welcome the Spirit to have His way. Now, Pastor, if you're leading singing and the Spirit leads you to sing the song 10 times instead of 3, you're going to do it. Let the Spirit have His way in worship. Amen? Praise God. And this is one of the greatest joys I have ever known. When I was in the world, I tried everything I could find to have joy. Everything I had. And it was all temporary, and it didn't last. But I can tell you that no matter what the pleasure, no matter what the sin, nothing compares to the joy of the Lord when the Spirit moves.
Amen?
Amen. Do you have joy? That's a good question. Do you have joy? Are you living in that? How can we find it? What leads to such spiritual rejoicing? We mentioned already the awareness of our salvation, Romans 5:10-11. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life, and not only that, but we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. We need to stop and think about that sometimes. We need to stop and think about our salvation. We need to review that in our mind. Remember where you were and remember where Jesus has brought you. Remember that you were an enemy of God, that you were under the wrath of God. But because of the sacrifice of His Son, He has brought you into reconciliation, brought you back together to be one with God. Hallelujah. We already mentioned the Ethiopian eunuch and how after receiving salvation, he went away rejoicing. And the Philippian jailer who rejoiced at the salvation of he and his family. You know, I don't think that's just a one-time thing right after you get saved. I think it should be a lifelong thing. Maybe even a daily thing to where we look back and we praise the Lord for that gift. We don't want to just forget about it. We don't want to take it for granted. He paid a great price, didn't He? He paid his entire life. We rejoice because after salvation, there is a change of focus. You look at things differently, amen? 1 Corinthians 13:6 says, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. See, I used to rejoice in iniquity. Anyone else? Yeah, when I was a sinner, when I was in the world, man, I thought all that stuff was cool. I rejoiced in that. I mean, somebody could tell me about them stealing something, I'd be like, man, that's awesome. Or tell me about getting drunk, or getting high, or this or that. And I thought that was awesome. I rejoiced in iniquity. Isn't that ridiculous? But that's what we do when we're in the world, when we're sinners. Why? Because we love our sin. And we have joy when we hear about it. But now, we rejoice in the truth. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We are joyful to know that the truth has set us free. What a change. Being filled, how do we get this joy? Secondly, being filled with the Holy Spirit is equated with being filled with joy. Acts 13:52. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. We already mentioned that the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. I just want to tell you this morning, if you've not yet been filled with the Holy Spirit, seek it until you receive it. It's great joy. God gave it for you. He wants you to have it. Jesus said, I go that I may pour out the promise of the Father. He wants you to have it.
Yes.
Don't pray for it once and forget about it. Pray for it until you get it. Till you receive it. You'll know it when you get it. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Keep at it. Ask and keep on asking. Ask and keep on asking. Jesus, fill me with the Holy Spirit. It's a second subsequent experience to salvation. It's something different. Okay? And it's an experience that every one of us need to have. I can't encourage you enough. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts 2:17-18. And it came to pass. You see, it's for today. Is that right? It's for every saved person, and it's for today. And it shall, quoting Joel in Acts, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. How many want to be used by the Lord?
Amen.
How many would love it if God gave you a word of prophecy to encourage someone?
Yes.
Hallelujah. It is real, it is for today, and it is for every believer. Amen?
Amen.
I'll move on. Can't encourage that enough. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Keep seeking until you get it. Thirdly, the anticipation of eternal life fills with a joy. Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. What is our hope? Eternal life. 1 Peter 5:1-6. Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That day's coming, saints. When our salvation will be fully realized. We'll be fully redeemed. That day's coming. Verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice. Greatly rejoice. Though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. There it is again. In the trials, we can still rejoice. Again, when things are not going well, we can have joy. Looking forward to the fullness of our salvation, the Word says, for our redemption draweth near. It's coming, saints. How many believe Jesus is coming soon?
Amen.
Amen. Are you ready?
Yes.
Jesus is coming soon. Are you ready?
Yes.
Have you been saved? Are you ready? Have you had your sins forgiven?
Yes.
Fourthly, there is joy. Again, how do we get this joy? There is joy in working for the Lord. Acts 20:24. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. How many know the grace of God? How many know what it's about? And you've experienced that. You need to share that. That is your ministry. God may call you to a more specific ministry, but sharing that is your ministry no matter who you are. He said, these things, other things in life, do not move me. I don't count my life dear. I'm not worried about living for me. I'm worried about living for Jesus. I want to live for Him. Amen? The ministry which I received to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. You know it. You've experienced it. You know it's real. You have that joy. Share it with others. They need to know.
Amen. Yes.
And I bet you're glad someone shared it with you. There's great joy also in seeking God to find your calling and in fulfilling it. There's great joy in being obedient to the Lord's command to all of us in the Great Commission to go and preach the gospel to all. Great joy. Nothing like it. There's nothing like witness to someone and seeing them saved. You didn't save them. God saved them. You didn't give the increase. God gave the increase. But you did what God wanted you to do. And you opened your mouth and shared the gospel with them, the message, so that they could receive it. And what a glorious thing, what a joy to see someone come to Jesus Christ and be saved. There's the soul winner's crown. Are you earning them? Are you working toward that? I want to have a lot of them to cast at Jesus' feet, because He's the one that deserves it. You know, the Bible says, we are but unprofitable servants, only doing that which is our duty to do. You know, we can't get haughty. We can't say, well, I witness all the time and I'm such a good preacher and you know, I'm really... No, we're only doing that which is our duty to do. We are unprofitable servants and we are going to cast those crowns at Jesus' feet. Amen? We have the joy of knowing that we will receive rewards for our obedience to the Lord. And again, greater joy even knowing that we'll cast those crowns at the Savior's feet. All right, we talked about joy a lot this morning. So I want to ask you again the simple question. Do you have it? Do you have joy?
Amen.
Just ask, every head bowed and every eye closed. No hurry to leave. Forget for a minute what you have plans for the rest of the day. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't have joy because you don't know the Lord. You've not been saved. For whatever reason, you've been putting it off and putting it off. Total surrender to Jesus. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And if we have sinned, and every one of us has, we are under the wrath of God until we repent, until we turn from those sins and receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. Is there anyone here this morning that you say, I'm not saved, I need to be saved? Is there one? I think it's important to ask that question, amen? In case there were. I'm glad that question was asked the day I came to church 22 years ago. Amen? 23 years ago, actually. Maybe you don't have joy this morning because there's something in your life that's not right. That's between you and God. Is there something going on in your life that is not right that you need to repent of? You're a Christian, you've been saved, but there's something in your life that's not right. And I want to tell you, that's stealing your joy. You've got to live for Jesus. And I would encourage you to make things right with God right now. The wonderful thing is, He is a God of mercy. And no matter what that thing is that's going on in your life, the thing that is not consistent with your Christian testimony, God will forgive you. And He will strengthen you, and He will change you. But you've got to make the move to confess that thing to Him. And ask Him to forgive you. And ask Him to change you. I want to ask you this morning, once again,